This evening, we're continuing our overview of the fifth book found in the Old Testament titled Deuteronomy. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 28, we find Moses. He's continuing to prepare the Israelites for their entrance into the promised land. And as he did, he actually took the time to give the children of Israel instructions regarding a memorial service that the Lord wanted them to engage in as they entered into the promised land. And I'll remind you how in the previous chapter, we found the Lord, he was commanding the Israelites to divide themselves up into two different groups based on their tribes, and half of them would go and stand on Mount Ebal, and the other half of them would go and stand across the valley on Mount Gerizim. It'll also help us to remember that those who were standing on Mount Ebal, they were there to symbolically represent the Israelites who would receive the curses of God because of their disobedience. And at the same time, those who would stand on Mount Gerizim would represent the Israelites who would receive the blessings of God as they walked according to the commandments of the Lord. And as we explore the instructions that are found in this chapter, we're also going to consider how the God of Israel, well, he's a loving God who wants to bless his people with an abundant life. And yet at the same time, we also have to understand that the God of Israel is a just judge who must punish those who choose to live in sinful rebellion. And so with this as our focus, let's jump into our study of Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you would look with me, beginning there at verse 1, because there Moses declares, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out." Now, here in the opening verses of this chapter, we find Moses, he's describing all of the blessings that would come upon those who diligently obeyed the voice of the Lord God of Israel. And according to Moses, the Israelite who carefully kept all of his commandments, they would literally be overtaken with blessings everywhere they went. Notice again there in verse 2. There Moses declares, "And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." Now, it's interesting to note here that this word overtake, in this context, it actually refers to something that takes a hold of another and refuses to let go. This reminds me of the kids who come up after service and they're running around and then they see you and they see you as the possible foot ride around the room. And they run up and they sit on your foot and they grab a hold of your ankle and they're just not going to let go. They've overtaken you and they're not going to let go of you until you give them a little foot ride around the room. In similar fashion that Moses was telling the children of Israel here that the blessings of God would get a hold of them and not let them go. These blessings would overtake them. And so those who would choose to walk with the Lord in this submissive obedience, they would be overtaken by the blessings of God. And not only would they receive the blessings of this abundant life, but they would also receive the blessings of international security and safety. With this in mind, if you would look with me there at verse 7, because there Moses declares, "The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you." Now here in these verses, Moses was helping the Israelites to understand that the blessings that the Lord promised would overtake them, they were not only blessings that were based on the abundant supply of daily provisions and the abundance that would come from having huge herds and many offspring, but these blessings would also include the Lord's supernatural protection from all of their enemies. We should notice again there in verse 9. There Moses tells them that the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself. Now that word established there, it's translated from a Hebrew word which refers to something that is raised up and supported and sustained. It refers to something that is being protected as well. And based on the context here, this context of receiving international security and safety, Moses was essentially telling him here that their obedience, it would result in the national blessings of international security. These blessings would provide supernatural security for the people of God. Well, then after promising international peace through this supernatural security, Moses continues to describe the blessings that God would pour out on the obedient Israelites. If you would look with me there at verse 11, because there Moses declared, "And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them." Well, here in these verses we find Moses, he's continuing to define the blessings that would overtake the obedient Israelites. And as we consider the blessings that would overtake them, I just want to point out a few key words and phrases that are found in these verses. Notice again there in verse 11, we find the words plenty there. We find the word increase. And God promises there in that verse to give them these blessings. This is something that God just wants to give, this plentiful increase of blessings. And in verse 12, we find those words, good treasure. God has this good treasure for the Israelites. And as well in verse 12, he makes the promise that the Israelites would lend and not borrow. That they would have something to lend and they wouldn't have to go out and borrow money. Finally, there in verse 13, Moses promised that those who were careful to observe the Lord's commandments, he says that they would be the head and not the tail. They would be in front, not in the back. They would be above and not beneath. And so this concept of just this plentiful increase of good treasure that would be poured out on the nation of Israel if they would simply observe the commandments and walk accordingly. Now, as we consider the way that the Lord God was promising all these blessings to the children of Israel, you would think that this promise of blessings would be reason enough to set out and say, you know what, let's just live according to what God is telling us to do here. You know, he's going to bless us if we do all these things. We want the blessings, and so let's live in the way that he's calling us to live. It makes good sense. But just to make sure that the Israelites knew that the price of rebellion was high, Moses revisited the curses that we studied a little bit about in chapter 27. And listen, not only did Moses revisit the curses of Mount Ebal, but he also expanded on the curses that would come upon those who chose to live in sin. Now with this in mind, if you would look with me beginning at verse 14, because there Moses declares, "So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out." Now, here in these verses, we find the negative image of the blessings which were presented in verses 3 through 6. It's basically the same list, but instead of blessings, this list presents the cursings. And rather than being overtaken by the blessings of God, the rebellious Israelites would be overtaken by the curses of the Lord. Like, imagine a UFC wrestler who's really sweaty and stinky and has really bad, simple chronic halitosis. And he overtakes you and pins you on the ground and just breathes in your face. You know, that would be a cursing. It's not something that you would enjoy. And that's exactly what's going on. You're saying, hey, if you don't obey, then you're going to be cursed with these things. And just to make certain here that the Israelites understood how these curses would affect their lives, Moses began here to describe the results of their rebellion and the results of the curses that they would receive. As a matter of fact, if you would look with me, beginning there at verse 20, there Moses declares, "The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. And your heavens which are over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be iron. The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust. From the heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed." Now here in these verses we find Moses, he's beginning to open up the envelope of what the curses of God would look like in their everyday life. And according to Moses here, the Lord was promising to send cursing and confusion and rebuke on everything they set their hands to do. Whatever they set out to do, it would result in just disaster. And they could pray for rain and the Lord would send hail. And they could pray for crops and the Lord would send locusts. And just everything they put their hand to would just end up being a curse. And listen, the curses would not only affect them physically and agriculturally, but these curses would also affect them militarily and internationally. With this in mind, if you would look with me there at verse 25. There Moses warned them that the Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. From this we see that the blessings of supernatural security would quickly become the cursing of international suffering, as the protective hand of the Lord would be lifted from the land of Israel. And rather than enjoying the military victory over their enemies, well, the rebellious Israelites, they would live in constant fear of every foe. And though they might go out and fight a battle, the Lord says they're going to lose. They're going to lose every single time if they're living in rebellion. And not only would their rebellion against God result in a weak military, but it would also cause mental instability for the people throughout the land. With this in mind, if you would look with me there at verse 27, because there Moses warned the Israelites by declaring, "The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, and with the itch, from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. And you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. You shall betroth a wife, but another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but shall not gather its grapes. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Your donkey shall be violently taken away from before you, and shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you shall have no one to rescue them. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, and your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all day long, and there shall be no strength in your hand. A nation whom you have not known shall eat the fruit of your land and the produce of your labor, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually. So you shall be driven mad because of the sight which your eyes see." Now here in these verses we learn that the mental health of these Israelites would end up being compromised as they begin to experience the ongoing curses of God. And we see again there in verse 28, Moses tells them that the Lord would strike them with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. They would be mad, they would be blind, and they would be confused. They would be completely confused about what's going on in their land. And in verse 34, Moses ends up warning them after sharing more information about the curses. He says, "So you shall be driven mad because of the sight which your eyes see." Or in other words, everywhere they look, the curses of God. Every time they turn around, more curses until they just go absolutely crazy because of all the curses of God. From this, we can see that the curses which would befall the rebellious Israelites, it would just cause mental instability amongst those who were living in sin. And not only would the curses of God cause mental instability there, but the rebellious Israelites would also find themselves in captivity. As a matter of fact, look with me there at verse 35, because there Moses continues to describe the curses of God by declaring, "The Lord will strike you in the knees and on the legs with severe boils which cannot be healed, and from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. The Lord will bring you and the king whom you set over you to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. And you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations where the Lord will drive you." From this we see how the nation of Israel would eventually end up living in captivity if they continue to rebel against the commandments of the Lord. And rather than being raised up and established by the Lord, because that was one of the cursing, or one of the blessings, to be raised up and established, to be sustained and supported, to be the top and not the bottom, the head and not the tail. Those were the blessings. But the cursings, they would be the tail and not the head. They would be the bottom and not the top. They would be in captivity. They wouldn't be living in freedom. Not only that, but there we see that they would become, verse 37, an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword. Another way to say that, they would become a joke. They would become an object of ridicule, and they would be mocked by their captors. They would be mocked because, well, allegedly their God was the true and living God, right? So why are they in captivity? They would be completely mocked because God allowed them to be taken captive. Not only that, but the curses of God would also result in multiplied labor and yet nothing to show for it. With this in mind, look with me there at verse 38. There Moses declares, "You shall carry much seed out to the field, but gather little in, for the locust shall consume it. You shall plant vineyards and tend them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olives shall drop off. You shall beget sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. Locusts shall consume all your trees and the produce of your land. The alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail." Here in these verses, we see how the blessings of being raised up would turn into the cursing of being humbled. The blessing of being a lender would turn into the cursing of being a borrower. And though these Israelites would continue to labor and they would continue to work really hard, their efforts would result in food for foreigners, in food for the locusts, and even in food for the worms. And listen, all of the curses which were designed to punish these Israelites, we have to grasp thing here that it's not just that God wants to punish the Israelites. It's that he wants to remind them about their need to repent of their rebellious ways. As a matter of fact, if you would, look with me beginning there at verse 45. There Moses declares, "Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder on your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and in need of everything, and he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which does not respect the elderly, nor show favor to the young. And they shall eat the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land until you are destroyed. They shall not leave you grain, nor new wine, or oil, or the increase of your cattle, or the offspring of your flocks until they have destroyed you. They shall besiege you at all your gates until your high and fortified walls, in which you trust, come down through all your land. And they shall besiege you at all your gates throughout all your land, which the Lord your God has given you. Wow. Here in these verses, we find the curses just continuing to compile. And Moses is attempting to help the Israelites to understand that these curses were designed to act as a sign and a wonder. They were supposed to be a sign and a wonder for the people of God so that they might remember that it was their rebellion which resulted in their captivity. God's basically saying, okay, you don't want to serve me? Well, let me show you who you're going to serve. You think that there's freedom in not doing what I'm telling you to do? Well, then you're going to go away into captivity. And that's something that we have to grasp here, is that we can look at what God is calling us to do and we can think it's burdensome, but in comparison to what our bondage would lead us into, well, it's a joy. It should be something that we gladly do to serve the Lord. And so God's basically telling the Israelites, hey, I'm going to give you a sign, and I'm going to show you that you can either serve me or you can serve these evil nations. But the sign and the wonder was designed to remind them that it was their disobedience that caused their bondage. And it's in this way that the curses of God were created to help the children of Israel to remember that the Lord was expecting them to live according to the covenant of the law. Moses also revealed that the Israelites who refused to repent of their rebellious ways, they would also continue to grow hardened in their hearts. And they would not only grow hardened in their hearts against God, but they would grow hardened in their hearts against one another and even their own offspring. With this in mind, if you would, look with me there at verse 53. There Moses continued to warn them by declaring this. He says, you shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and your daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you, in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you. The sensitive and very refined man among you will be hostile toward his brother, toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the rest of his children whom he leaves behind, so that he will not give any of them the flesh of his children whom he will eat, because he has nothing left in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you at all your gates. The tender and delicate woman among you who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground because of her delicateness and sensitivity will refuse to the husband of her bosom and to her son and her daughter. Her placenta, which comes out from between her feet, and her children whom she bears, for she will eat them secretly for lack of everything in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you at all your gates. Now, without debate, this is probably one of the most disgusting passages in the entire Bible. And it breaks my heart to tell you that this is not only a warning here, it's actually a prophecy. It's a prophecy that unfolded at the point in time when the king of Syria besieged an Israelite city there in Samaria. And not only then, but in Lamentations chapter 4, the prophet Jeremiah tells us about the time when the Babylonian army besieged Jerusalem. And just like when the king of Syria besieged Samaria, well, both times there was a famine that occurred because of the battle. And in both cases, the Bible tells us that children were being eaten. As a matter of fact, in Lamentations chapter 4, verse 10, Jeremiah tells us that the hands of the compassionate woman have cooked their own children. They became food for them in the destruction of the daughter of my people. Now, from this, we can see how the sinful state of man's wicked mind, it is so wicked that a starving mother would rather consume her own child than to repent of her sinful rebellions. And while it's hard to imagine any parent consuming their child, the fact is the sinner who refuses to repent of their rebellious ways will eventually sear their conscience as with a hot iron, so that they no longer have a sense of what is right and what is wrong. I don't have time to get into all of the abortions that the people in this country are having, you know, men who are supporting it, men who are working in the industry, women who are willing to just hand over their babies. And for what reason? Well, because, you know, I just really wasn't ready to have a child. This is uncomfortable for me. I don't have the money to afford it. And I just don't want to go through the whole, you know, process of giving birth. Our conscience has become so seared to this that I recently saw a lawyer presenting a case for killing children who... it was a botched abortion, and so the child is living there in the abortion clinic, and they go ahead and kill the baby. And this lawyer is just, with hardness of heart, making an argument for this case. And my heart just broke. My heart just broke as I considered how wicked we've become simply because we've seared our conscience as a nation. We've allowed this to continue. Listen, without a clear conscience, we are all capable of committing unspeakable atrocities, and we all have the potential for engaging in the most horrifying acts of wickedness. We do, because we're fallen people. We're sinful, wicked, fallen people who desperately need to look to the Lord for His instructions and His directions so that by His power we can walk according to His truth. It's for this reason that Moses encouraged the Israelites to be careful to observe the commandments of God. As a matter of fact, look with me, beginning there at verse 58, because there Moses declared, "If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. You shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven in multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And it shall be that just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to nothing, and you shall be plucked from off the land which you go to possess." Now here in these verses we find Moses, he's helping the children of Israel to understand that the choice was entirely theirs. It was their choice to either walk in obedience and receive the blessings of God, or they could choose to do whatever their hearts desired and then suffer the consequences of their sinful decisions. Either way, Moses tells us here that the Lord was going to rejoice. The Lord's going to rejoice. And if you're thinking, well, how is it that he could rejoice in the destruction of the Israelites? If you're wondering why the Lord would rejoice in punishing the children of Israel, then it'll help us to understand that I don't think that the Lord is necessarily rejoicing in the fact that he's going to punish sinners. No, I think that the Lord rejoices in the fact that his righteousness is being fulfilled. You know, it's kind of like when you see someone being punished, you know, in like a court case here in our own country. It's not that we're really rejoicing that this person is going to spend the rest of their life in jail or going to suffer the death penalty or whatever. That's not what we rejoice over. We're rejoicing in the fact that justice was served. That's what we're rejoicing in. We're rejoicing in the fact that justice was accomplished and the score was settled. And it's sad to say that the outcome had to be that this person was punished in such a way. But we rejoice in the justice and in the righteousness being reestablished and restored, not in the person necessarily being punished. And that's what I think God's heart is. I don't think that he rejoices in the punishment of the wicked, but I do think that he rejoices in the fact that righteousness is established when the disobedient are punished. See, the Lord is ready to rejoice in blessing those who walk according to his will. And at the same time, he can rejoice in punishing those who refuse to repent of their wickedness, because in either event, the righteousness of the Lord is revealed and it's accomplished. Now, it's true that he would rather bless his chosen people. I believe that the Lord would rather bless every single person. And yet at the same time, it's also true that he won't hesitate to punish those who choose to live in sin. And he does this for their own good. With this in mind, if you would look with me beginning there at verse 64, because there Moses writes, "Then the Lord will scatter you among all the peoples from one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods which neither you nor your fathers have known, wood and stone. And among those nations you shall find no rest, nor shall the sole of your foot have a resting place. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and anguish of soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night, and have no assurance of life. In the morning you shall say, 'Oh, that it were evening!' And at evening you shall say, 'Oh, that it were the morning!' Because of the fear which terrifies your heart, and because of the sight which your eyes see. And the Lord will take you back to Egypt in ships, by the way of which I said to you, you shall never see it again. And there you shall be offered for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you." Here in the final verses of this extremely long chapter, we find Moses, he's helping the children of Israel to understand that if they choose to live in rebellion against the will of God, then there won't be any rest for them. There won't be any rest for those living in rebellion. There won't be any rest for those who are willfully choosing to rebel against God. Notice again there in verse 65. There Moses warns the Israelites by declaring, "Among those nations, you shall find no rest." And there in the second half of the same verse, Moses tells them the sole of their foot would have no resting place. We should notice again there in the second half of verse 66, because there Moses tells them again that fear day and night. They would fear day and night and have no assurance of life. This is for a purpose. It's not because God is cruel and mean. God is removing rest from them, and he's removing hope from their hearts. He's removing peace from their lives, so that they might recognize their need to turn back to him. Much like the prodigal son who found himself in the pig pen, eating the slop that was thrown out for the pigs, he finally came to his senses and said, "Man, my father has plenty of food at his house. Why am I not there? Why am I here?" And in that recognition, the prodigal son returns home, where his father is waiting to accept him. I believe that that's the heart of our Heavenly Father. He's a good God who says, "Well, if you want to do your own thing, you can go do your own thing. And I'll allow you to suffer the consequences of your own thing too. That way when you're done with your own thing, you'll remember that my thing is where the good stuff is at." And so God allows the cursings to come upon those who live in rebellion so that we might recognize that there's no rest in the world and there's nothing but fear and a lack of assurance. And as we consider all these repercussions, I mean, this is a heavy chapter to consider. It started off all like, "Yay, blessings." And then before you know it, it's like, "Oh, cursings. It's no fun." But as we consider the cursings, as we consider the repercussions which would come upon these Israelites for choosing to walk in rebellion, all I can say is living in rebellion is no way to live. Rebelling against the will of God does not result in a better life. And the enemy wants to lie to you and say, "Hey, just remember the world? It was so much fun. What are you doing here at church? There's clubs to go to. There's dances going on. There's partying happening. You're missing out." I'm here to tell you, no, you're not. There's nothing but cursings in the world. But when we walk by faith with the Lord, Well, it's all blessings. That being the case, it's sad to say that there are so many people alive today who have yet to find rest for their soul. And I'm not talking about the soles of their feet. They have yet to find rest for their soul, spiritually speaking. Not only that, but there are scores of people who we even know, people that we work with, people in our families. Scores of people who live in constant fear because they have no assurance of life. They have no assurance of everlasting life, is what I should say. And they have no assurance of everlasting life simply because they won't turn to the one and the only one who can give us the spiritual rest and the eternal assurance that would bring peace to our minds and hope to our hearts. With that, I want to conclude this study by reminding you that Jesus has accomplished the law for us. Remember, the law is our tutor, our teacher, and it's designed to bring us to Christ. It's designed to show us what we've fallen short of. But when we come to Christ, we learn that Christ fulfilled the law for us so that we could enjoy the spiritual rest that's found in Christ and in Christ alone. This is exactly what Jesus was talking about when he declared, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He encourages us to take his yoke upon us because it's easy. Simply put, Jesus was inviting us to trust in his finished work. Finished work. It's done. Jesus was inviting us to trust in his finished work so that we could rest in the assurance of our salvation that he secured for us when he fulfilled the law and died on the cross for the sins that we've committed. Now, the fact is, we're all lawbreakers. We all deserve the cursings of God. We all deserve, because we've rebelled, because we've lived in rebellion, because we've sinned against God, we deserve the cursings of God. But regardless of what our sins are, regardless of how we've rebelled, and despite the depths of our own depravity, those who would simply come to Christ and trust in his finished work will find rest for their soul, an assurance of everlasting life. And so I encourage you, if you never have before, tonight, in your own heart of hearts, repent of your rebellion and receive the blessings of God by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. Because listen, it's in Jesus and in Jesus alone where all of the blessings of God are found and received. By faith, and by faith alone. Let's pray.